It was a short one-paragraph item in the morning edition. A friend rang me up and read it to me. Nothing special. Something a rookie reporter fresh out of college might have written for practice. The date? A street corner. A person driving a truck. A pedestrian. A casualty. An investigation of possible negligence. Sounded like one of those poems on the inner flap of a magazine. "Where's the funeral?" I asked. "You got me," he said. "Did she even have family?" Of course she had family. I called the police department to track down her family's address and telephone number, after which I gave them a call to get details of the funeral. Her family lived in an old quarter of Tokyo. I got out my map and marked the block in red. There were subway and train and bus lines everywhere, overlapping like some misshapen spider web. The whole area a maze of narrow streets and drainage canals. The day of the funeral, I took a streetcar from Waseda. I got off near the end of the line. The map proved about as helpful as a globe would have been. I ended up buying pack after pack of cigarettes, asking directions each time. It was a wood frame house with a brown board fence around it, a small yard with an abandoned ceramic brazier filled with standing rainwater. The ground was dark and damp. She'd left home when she was 16, which may have been the reason why the funeral was so somber. Only family present, nearly everyone older. It was presided over by her older brother, barely 30, or maybe it was her brother-in-law. Her father, a shortish man in his mid-50s, wore a black armband of mourning. He stood by the entrance and scarcely moved. Reminded me of a street washed clean after a downpour. On leaving, I lowered my head in silence, and he lowered his head in return, without a word. I met her in autumn 9 years ago, when I was 20 and she was 17. There was a small coffee shop near the university where I hung out with friends. It wasn't much of anything, but it offered certain constants, hard rock and bad coffee. She'd always be sitting in the same spot, elbows planted on the table, reading. With her glasses, which resembled orthodontia, and skinny hands, she seemed somehow endearing. Always her coffee would be cold, always her ashtray full of cigarette butts. The only thing that changed was the book. One time it'd be Mickey Spillane, another time Kenzaburo Oe, another time Allen Ginsberg. Didn't matter what it was, as long as it was a book. The students who drifted in and out of the place would lend her books, and she'd read them clean through, cover to cover. Devour them like so many ears of corn. In those days, people lent out books as a matter of course, so she never wanted for anything to read. Those were the days of the Doors, the Stones, the Birds, Deep Purple, and the Moody Blues. The air was alive, even as everything seemed poised on the verge of collapse, waiting for a push. She and I would trade books, talk endlessly, drink cheap whiskey. Engage in unremarkable sex. You know, the stuff of every day. Meanwhile, the curtain was creaking down on the shambles of the 60s. I forget her name. I could pull out the obituary. But what difference would it make now? I've forgotten her name. Suppose I meet up with old friends and mid-swing the conversation turns to her. No one else ever remembers her name either. Say back then there was this girl who'd sleep with anyone, you know, what's her face, the name escapes me, but I slept with her lots of times. Wonder what she's doing now. Be funny to run into her on the street. Back then there was this girl who'd sleep with anyone. That's her name.